Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we are back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. In light of last year's oil spill in Marshall that contaminated the Kalamazoo River, a newly proposed federal pipeline rule in Washington is getting a big thumbs down from the Pipeline Safety Trust, a group that promotes fuel transportation safety. To talk about what's wrong with these new rules, I'm joined by the group's executive director, Carl Weimer. Welcome to the program, Carl.
Thanks for having me on.
You know, last year's Enbridge oil spill was big local news, and we talked to officials at the company. One thing that they were quick to point out was that transporting fuel is obviously crucial to our society, and there's no safer way to do that than via our underground pipelines. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, we agree with that. You know, there's 300,000 miles of pipeline, and they do transport millions and millions of gallons a day, and that's certainly better than having all those tanker trucks running up and down our highways.
So, okay, let's get to the rules. What is it specifically that is so ineffective about the rules that are now being proposed for pipelines?
Well, there's a number of bills kind of working their way through Congress, but the bill just introduced yesterday and voted on today actually took some steps backwards in some critical areas. For instance, that really relates to the Marshall, Michigan spill. One of the problems there was that pipeline started leaking, and it leaked all night long, and the fancy leak detection system that Enbridge had never caught that leak.
Mm-hmm.
It was people in the area reporting that. Well, under the bill that was introduced and voted on yesterday, they tried to preclude the federal government from moving forward on any rules that would set standards for what a leak detection system really has to do, or even require companies to use leak detection.
So, mm-hmm. Hey, look, Enbridge officials said we do have systems to monitor for leaks, especially for any kind of major leak that's occurring. They have pressure gauges, apparently, that let them know if pressure is suddenly off kilter in a pipeline. They have systems of shutting down a pipeline almost instantly. So, but they said, look, this leak was so slow, there was really no realistic way of detecting this type of a leak. What's wrong with that argument?
Well, I think what's wrong with that argument is what it amounted to is 800,000 to a million gallons in the course of 12 or 14 hours. I don't think that's a small leak, and certainly there ought to be systems in place that can catch that size of leak. And if the federal government moves forward on a rulemaking on that, it will help drive that technology too. And it wasn't only Enbridge. There was a spill that dumped crude oil into a creek running right through the middle of Salt Lake City. And then just recently we saw a large spill in Montana that dumped oil into the Yellowstone River. The rules require that they have leak detection, but there's no definition of what that means.
Now, these types of cleanup efforts are enormously expensive for companies like Enbridge. Don't you think they're currently using the best technology they can to avoid having leaks like this occur and to detect them as soon as possible?
Well, certainly, you know, it's in the company's best interest not to have leaks. So I think they do try to do a good job on that, and there's good progressive companies that are doing more than the federal government requires of them for sure. But there's also companies that look at the bottom line and the return to shareholders on a more immediate basis, and I think sometimes they make the wrong decisions about where to put their money.
I'm talking to Carl Weimer. He's the executive director of the Pipeline Safety Trust, a group that promotes fuel transportation safety. So, Carl, what kind of detection system do you think should exist? I know that the ones that are now used involve pressure detection within the pipes. So what more can really be done?
Yeah, those are good, and the problem right now is that there's no standard for how good they have to be. You don't know if you have to detect a 1% leak or a 5% leak, or you just leave it up to the pipeline operator. So I think the federal government, as in this bill, needs to do a study of really what the best technology can find at these days, and then they need to make sure that companies are using that best technology instead of just leaving it up to the pipeline operator to make that decision.
Now, one of the realities is these pipes can be 70, 80 years old or older. At what point should there be a full replacement of large portions of our pipeline, and is that something that can even realistically be done?
Yeah, age itself isn't really probably the best indicator of when a pipeline should be replaced. We've seen, 50, 60-year-old pipe that looks brand new when you dig it up. And there's other pipe that's only been in the ground for a few years and just wasn't operated and maintained well, and it already needs replacing. So, there isn't any magic with the age. It's more of how the company is operating, maintaining, and inspecting that pipe. And for the most part, they can come in and correct little sections of the pipe instead of having to remove the whole pipeline, which would be way more expensive.
When it comes to the spill in Marshall, the Enbridge cleanup effort was roundly applauded locally. Many felt they responded quickly and were very thorough. Ultimately, it appears there's very little long-term harm that was done. Isn't that an indication of how responsible the company really is?
Yeah, I think most of the companies afterwards come in and do the best they can. I think the Marshall spill pointed some new facts that we hadn't thought about before. They were moving a type of product that isn't as typical as regular crude oil, and there may have been some problems with the way it sunk to the bottom, and so there may still be some in the sediments. And so Marshall was kind of a wake-up call for do we know enough about these products that are moving through some of these lines.
Now, part of the concern, you say, is that there are pipeline companies that that have no detection systems in place. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's because the regulations right now are written kind of strange. In high consequence areas, like where it crosses rivers or in populated areas, you need some kind of a leak detection. But a lot of the pipelines in more rural areas, there's no requirement that you even have leak detection. That's just totally left up to the companies. And even where you do have leak detection, as I said, it's left up to the company to define what that means.
Okay, and when we talk about the problem of pipeline leaks, it seems like a fairly rare event because when it happens, it is such a big story. How much of a problem is it really, considering how much fuel we're moving around?
Well, the chance of a pipeline failing in any one specific place is really, really, really small, but certainly as you found out there along the Kalamazoo River, when it does happen, it can be a huge consequence. In reality, there's a major significant pipeline incident about every day and a half somewhere in the country, and every 4 or 5 days, someone ends up getting killed or in the hospital because of a pipeline.
And when you talk about regulations and regulating the industry and having standards they need to meet, you're inevitably talking about things that are going to be costly to these companies. And I'm sure they're going to do everything to resist that. I mean, how profitable are pipeline companies typically?
Well, there's a whole range of different types of pipeline companies, and some of them, you look at their quarterly profit reports and it's in the billions, and then there's small municipalities that run their own natural gas systems, and some of those are just barely getting by. So it covers the whole range, just like business in general does.
I see. Well, certainly then, if you're talking about new regulations, you could ultimately cause some pipeline companies to maybe not even be able to handle the cost, depending on how much of an effort you're talking about. Because ultimately, a detection system that we're talking about would actually have to involve updating parts of the pipeline or somehow installing some kind of a detection system locally on each portion of the pipeline, would it not?
Yeah, and maybe as easy as just better computer systems in the control rooms that could catch things earlier. And there's other things besides just leak detection, too. One of the other things that seems critical is the placement of emergency shutoff valves. So when the company does realize they have a problem, they can turn the pipeline off from their control room versus putting someone in a truck and having them drive for an hour to turn a valve. That's something else that some of these bills are considering.
I see. And ultimately, though, the rules that are in place that are apparently going to be approved, I'm guessing, are not going to move us forward, you're saying, in making pipelines safer from leaks.
Well, it depends which bill wins out. There's a fairly good bill that has moved out of one of the critical committees in the Senate and another one in the House that is really pretty good that came from Representative Upton right there from Michigan. And that's a pretty good bill and addresses a lot of these things. It's just this new bill this week seems to be much weaker. So when they all get together and talk about that, we hope that the bills that address these better help take a step forward on pipeline safety.
Carl Weimer, Executive Director of the Pipeline Safety Trust. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
Coming